Ecclesiastes 4. Open your Bibles, if you would. We're going to go through a handful of chapters there. You've got your verses not only in your outline, but they'll be up on the screen here. But Ecclesiastes 4, we'll start there. Get your outline. And I've got a basic question for you that I'd like to propose. If God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, why do so many things happen to you that not only don't seem fair, they aren't fair? Solomon asked it, Ecclesiastes 4:1. I looked again at all the injustice that goes on in the world. This question of injustice, it can be asked in many, many ways and has been over many, many centuries. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad people seem to prosper? Where is God when I hurt in the depths of my pain? When all things in life aren't fair, what is going on? If God is really God and he can do something about the injustice and the violence and he's loving and he knows what he wants to do and he has a plan, why doesn't he help us? Why doesn't he do something about all the things, all the injustice, all the wrongs? Here's just two examples from the last 2 weeks of news. You probably saw both of them. Mayor of Belmont, North Carolina, very loved individual. If you saw the bio, the article in the paper or on the TV news, just a great guy, did wonderful things for his town, still beloved even though he wasn't the current mayor. He's going to Ash Wednesday service at his local church, a strong believer all his life with his lifelong friend next to him. He's coming home from church. All he wants to do is go home. This individual who has many DUI offenses comes to a police sobriety checkpoint, plows through the checkpoint, almost runs over two state troopers. They pursue him in a high-speed chase. He slams into the mayor of Belmont's car, pushes it into a light post, and they're both killed instantly. Not fair. Pastor at a church in Sarasota 2 weeks ago. His 19-year-old daughter is at church on Sunday morning at the church he pastors at. Her fiancé brings a 9mm Ruger that he is selling to another church member. They had the clip out of the gun. They take it into a little closet, a little anteroom off the side, not to, you know, scare anybody. And the pastor's daughter's fiancé is showing, looking at this gun that he's thinking of buying. And he simply pulls the trigger to feel the action, unaware that the owner of the gun left a round in the chamber. The gun goes off, goes out of the room they're in, hits the pastor's 19-year-old daughter in the head on Sunday morning. She hangs on to life for a week and dies the next Sunday following. Not fair. But this morning, what I want to look at is not only the reality of injustice in this world and the reasons for the injustice in this world, and day after day when you're confronted with stuff like this or someone knows you're a person of faith and asks you, why does this go on? Why does God allow it? You can have a response, not only your response to these events, but to the question, what should I do about it? And the reality of life is unfair. You just need to accept that. The Bible says it. Ecclesiastes gives us five different examples in the verses we're going to look at. Criminals go unpunished. Why do people commit crimes, he says? Because crime is not punished quickly enough. 3,000 years ago, Solomon is asking a question that is in the daily news today. Complain about the fact that the courts are bogged down, that appeals and justice is slow, that delayed justice is actually injustice. And if people say crime doesn't pay, then you have to ask yourself, well, who says it doesn't pay? Even if you get caught, even if you do a horrible thing, you can sell your story, and even if you don't make the proceeds of money off of it, you can direct who will get that money. Movie rights, millions of dollars for book deals over horrendous things that criminals do. Solomon says it isn't fair, and crime goes unpunished. Then he says something else. I notice that throughout the earth, justice is giving way to crime, and even the courts are corrupt. How relevant can you get? If there is any place where there ought to be justice, it should be in our courts. But even there, you don't get justice. The verdict can many times not be a matter of guilt or innocence, but do you have enough bucks to get a good enough attorney to get off on a technicality or slow the case down in the dockets that you can get paroled even if you do get convicted or get released because the prisons are too full and go out and do it again? Then he says the oppressed are unhelped. Nobody speaks up for him, Solomon says. Says this, then I looked again at all the injustice that goes on in this world. The oppressed were crying. No one would help them. Their oppressors had power on their side. Do you know that history is simply a record that proves that humans tend to persecute each other? Read history. Throughout human history, the rich oppress the poor, the powerful oppress the powerless, race oppresses other race, whites oppress blacks, men oppress women. All around you see racism and sexism and oppression taking place. It's not fair. Nobody speaks up for them. This year alone, this last year, over 1 million Christians were martyred worldwide just for their faith, just because they said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and is my Lord and Savior, and 1 million of them lost their lives. It's not fair. Politicians are unethical. Whenever you find people who are in authority over other people, you will find that injustice. Does anybody really expect public servants to serve us? That's the way it's supposed to work. Yet Solomon says, if you see a miscarriage of justice anywhere throughout the land, don't be surprised, for every official is under orders from higher up, and the higher officials look up to their superiors. So the matter is lost in bureaucracy. In fact, he says in 5:8, here is an injustice I've seen, an injustice caused by the rulers. Stupid people are given positions of authority. 10:5-6, while intelligent people go unknown, dumb people rule us. Then he says something else. He says, good people go unrewarded. Wrong people are prospering. He says this, there's something else meaningless. Righteous men who get what the wicked deserve and wicked men who get what the righteous deserve. In other words, the dishonest people in life are getting ahead. The wicked, it seems, are better off. It appears by all surface appearances. And in fact, the way to get ahead in business then apparently is to have no integrity, be unscrupulous, and do whatever it takes. That's unfair. That's unfair. But something else Solomon doesn't seem to think is fair. 7:15. The good die young, and it seems that the evil people live on and on. And then he goes on and he says, capable people are unsuccessful. The good guys don't always win. He says this, in this world, fast runners do not always win the races. How many times have you seen, just say the Olympics, where someone dedicates their life and they train for years and they're at the top of their game, and then the Olympic Games come and fill in the blank. They get sick, they get a flu, they get in an accident, a family member dies, and the thing that they have looked forward to and trained for all their life is taken from them. It's not fair. Then he says, wise men don't always earn a living. You can be brilliant and still be poor, while some fools inherit millions and squander it. You work hard to make a living. You try to make your house payments. You want to pay off your mortgage. You do it through a lifetime, and down the street is some drug smuggler that lives in a huge house and it's been paid off and has millions. It's not right. He says intelligent men don't always get rich. Biggest salaries don't go to the smartest people, do they? In our society, in America, we pay professional boxers more than we do the President of the United States. But as Will Rogers said, we ought to be thankful that we don't get all the government we pay for. Capable women do not always rise to high positions. I can tell you in business and in church work both, I have seen women that are far more capable than the bosses that they support and report to. But there is this glass ceiling. Maybe you deserve a promotion, but because of the color of your skin or your gender, or your boss likes somebody else more than you. You're the best qualified. You don't get the promotion. It's not fair. Turn your outline over. Why does God let it happen? What are the reasons? First, because he gives us freedom to choose. Deuteronomy 11:26, God says this, I am giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. Folks, that is such a great line because that is the story of the Bible from front to back cover. God says, I am giving you a free will choice, and you can either have as a result, a consequence, a blessing or a curse. Not only in life, but on the other side of life. So the Bible says we were created in God's image. God creates you in his image and gives you a choice. He says that's what makes you different from the animals, all the other created beings without a soul, without a spirit, without a free will. That's what makes you different. Animals don't have a choice, but God says, I have created you in my image, and you have a choice to accept me or reject me. You have a choice to obey me or disobey me. You have a choice to do good in life or to do bad. Why? Why? This is important. You don't get anything else. God gives you a free choice in life because he wants you to do good because you choose, you make the free will decision to do good, not because you have to. God wants you to love him because you make the free will choice to choose to love him, not because you have to. With choices come consequences. It's that great wisdom from Spider-Man where Uncle Ben looks at Peter Parker and what does he say? With great power comes great responsibility. That's all that God is saying. You have a free will choice and you can either have a blessing or a curse. You can't say that you don't have a choice to do good unless you have a choice to do bad. And the good news is you have the freedom to choose. The bad news is there are evil consequences, negative consequences, because of free will choice, because we or someone makes a bad decision, evil consequences that happen throughout human history and throughout this world are simply the result of evil choices. God could take away all the injustices in a snap. How? By taking away your free will freedom, your choice to do wrong. He could take away your freedom to do injustice. He could take away your freedom to make bad choices. But he doesn't do that. Why is he not going to do that? The world would be so much better because God is producing a race of tested individuals, a people. So the good news is you have the freedom. The bad news is there's negative consequences as a result of it. One of those, injustice. Why else does God let it happen? Look at number two, because judgment is coming. Ecclesiastes 3:7. In due season, God will judge everything man does, both good and bad. Today is not the end of the story. The final chapter has not been written. You never need to forget that one day God is going to balance the books, whatever you see, week after week, year after year, on the news, or you read about it in the paper and you think, this is horrible. Where is justice? There is going to be a judgment day. There is going to be a balancing day, a reconciling day. He is going to settle the score. He is going to even the odds, and repayment, recompense, will be made. But God doesn't settle all of his accounts this year, next year. Just because people are getting it now, seemingly, doesn't mean they're going to get it in the future. It is inevitable. We need this constant remembrance or reminder that ultimately there will be a day of accounting. And each of us are going to give an account of everything we did on this earth, every idle word, every thought, every action or inaction. It's coming one day, And as you were growing up, as I was, very often my mother would say what? Wait until your father comes home. Did you ever hear that? Boy, if it was something going on with the siblings and you were getting the upper hand and mom said, okay, you just wait till dad comes home. You're going to get yours. That's what God is saying. Wait until your father comes home. Isaiah 30:18. God is a God of justice. He demands justice. He's far more fair than I am. He's far more fair than you are. He's a God of justice. One day he's going to settle that score. He's going to close the books. He's going to balance the accounts. And if I didn't truly believe that in my core, I would be in constant despair. There are people getting away with all kinds of stuff, and it will continue to be that way. All kinds of stuff, but the judgment has not been meted out yet. God says, yes, you've been given a free choice. Yes, you can choose to do bad, you can choose to do good. Yes, but one day you will give an account for your life for punishment or reward, for blessings or a curse, based on your faith or no faith. Why doesn't God judge us now? Why doesn't he bring justice now? Why doesn't he balance the books now? Third, look at that. He wants to show us we need a Savior. Ecclesiastes 7:20. There is no one on earth who does what is right all the time and never sins. That means we're all in trouble. Every one of us. We've all been unkind, unfair, cruel. We're all in the same boat. The reason the world is unjust is because it's full of unjust people like me and like you. We want to believe that we're good. I want to believe that I'm unselfish. I want to believe all my motives are pure. I want to believe that I always think of other people. So God tests us. He lets the world go on to see the natural consequences of our human nature and what they are. Ecclesiastes 3:18. God is letting the world go on its sinful way so he can test mankind. He wants us to see what our human nature is really like. He goes on to say, so that men will see that they are no better than the beasts. Now what he's saying there is that you're not the same as the animals. You're not the same as beasts, but what he's saying is there is that injustice reveals human nature. When we are left alone to our own affinities, when you see stuff going on in the world, he says, don't be surprised about it. It just shows what man is really like on the inside, what he's really capable of. When you see mob rule, when you see these terrible things take place on the news, when you see man's inhumanity to man that's been committed over the centuries, what it does is it demonstrates my human nature. Given the opportunity, do you know what? I will think of me before you every time. I am naturally self-centered. Injustice just reveals my human nature. That's why Solomon said, men will see that they are no better than the beasts. He's saying that without God, you and I tend to act like animals. We don't rise above. Normal people, given the right situation in a group, are capable of anything. He's saying you and I, whether you like it or not, are capable of anything given the right situation. People tend to prey upon each other. They do it in life, they do it in business, they act wild. And this bogus theory of evolution says, you know what, we shouldn't even be surprised. You know, man's just an animal anyway. You just came from the shallow end of the gene pool. You came from slime. You just evolved out of complex ooze. Why not act like an animal? You know what God says? No, you are not an animal. But sometimes you can act like one if I am not in your life. Then the humanist says, man's basically good. Man will basically do the right thing given any chance. You know, the golden age that we had about a century ago. Baloney. If you believe that, how do you explain Auschwitz? How do you explain the killing fields everywhere around the world over the years? The rapes, the murders, the abuse that goes on in our society in America. God is saying we need a Savior. We all have the freedom to choose. And one day, judgment, one day, will be delivered for our choices. But he's delaying that judgment so that as many as can, like you and me, will recognize our need for a Savior before that day of judgment comes. That's why Scripture says, we all have sinned, yet now God declares us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ who freely takes away our sins. You need a Savior, not justice. We're all in the same boat. None of us are perfect. We've all blown it. Are you sure you want justice? If God gave you what you deserve right now, where would you be? Not here. Jesus Christ did not deserve to die on the cross. Tom said it eloquently. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was God. But the Bible says that he came and died. He took the penalty for me, the just for the unjust, that he might bring me, might bring us to God. He took my rap, my penalty, my price. He did my jail sentence, and he did yours too. And you need to accept him as Savior. That's what he's saying in the midst of all this craziness. He can start changing that human nature by the indwelling Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because when you spell the word sin, S-I-N, right in the middle of it is I. That's the core of sin, I. I want what I want, not what you want. I want to do what I want, not what you want. We're born that way. We're selfish. Look at number four. Why else does he allow it? Pain can develop character. Romans 5:4. Suffering produces character. You and I always learn more from pain than pleasure. We change more because of heat than because of light. I don't know the way it is. We always learn more from failure than we do success. Oftentimes we learn more and are drawn closer to God in the valley times than the mountaintop times. Why is that? I don't know. But God is interested in molding and making you. It's not an accident that God's chosen people, term given originally to Israel, the Jews, and yet no other nation has suffered as much oppression as God's chosen people throughout history. Every nation has seemed to oppress them, one right after the other. Why would God allow that? Because he cares about them. He's developing them. He's building them. He's maturing them. And Solomon says way back then, you know what? Life looks pretty negative. Life stinks. It's not fair. There's a lot of things going on right now, he said, in the world that aren't right. But God can turn those negatives in your life into positives if you let his love and his light shine in and shine through that, and he can build positive things out of it. And so when we feel like we've been dealt a bad hand and this isn't fair and what we're facing right now, we don't deserve it, what do you do when life is unfair? Bible says three things. One, when you dealt a hand you didn't deserve. One, accept that life is unfair. John 16:33. Jesus said what? In the world, you know what? There's a small chance you might have trouble. In the world, because God loves you and has a great plan for your life, you won't have any trouble. You know what? You're all Christians and it's a rose garden from here on out. No. What did Jesus say? In the world you will have trouble. Jesus was realistic. He says it's a fact of life. He says accept it. The fact is if you spent every waking moment for the rest of your life crusading against justice and all the wrongs in our society, you will not save society. You will not change a culture. Because the problem is human nature. We are selfish. We think of ourselves before other people. We have the freedom to choose right and wrong, and many times we choose wrong because it's the easy thing to do. It's not always the right thing to do. The right thing isn't always easy. So he says it's human nature, the human heart, that's the real problem. So even if everybody in this world, all of a sudden God zaps this entire world, everybody becomes a believer, the entire world starts living the way that God wants us to, guess what? The next generation comes along. They have their own free will choices. They have to make their own decisions. The affinity because of sin and human frailty is to head south. You are just not going to change society permanently because life is unfair. And if you don't get God's perspective, you and I will go through this life cynical and bitter and resentful and disillusioned. And you and I will say, why is this happening to me? Why is God allowing this to happen to my family? Because we can't control the circumstances in life, but God says you can control your reaction to them. That's what God is watching. How do you respond to the injustices in your life? How do you respond when life is unfair and what's been dealt to you? Two, you do the right thing anyway. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do right. See that justice is done. Help those who are oppressed. Even when the world is unfair, he says, maintain your own integrity. Even when everything is going south around you, you do the right thing anyway. Even when there is injustice rampant, you do what you can to gain justice for others. So certainly, we ought to fight for civil rights. We ought to fight for the oppressed. We ought to fight to correct wrongs and injustices in life. Do what you can while you can. Proverbs 29:7. The righteous care about injustice. What do you do? Romans 12. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So don't become resentful. Don't retaliate. Don't take matters in your own hand. Don't be a vigilante. You let God judge them because vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. I will repay, and he can do a better job than I can or you can. Ecclesiastes 8:11-12. Because God does not punish people instantly, people feel it's safe to do wrong, but those who fear God will be better off. Take the long-term look. Get God's perspective with that long eye of faith, which leads to three, wait for God's reward. 2 Corinthians 5:17. These temporary troubles are winning for us a permanent reward out of all proportion to our pain. God is faithful. God's going to reward you for doing the right thing anyway, the right response to all these iniquities and injustices of life. Mark 10, in fact, says he will reward you 100-fold. So he says, one day I'm going to wipe away every tear. I'm going to balance the books. I'm going to settle the score. I will get even with the injustices and those who committed them. You do the right thing and you'll be rewarded, whether it's over the temporary troubles of 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. That is temporary in light of eternity. So he says, keep your perspective and gain God's perspective. How do I get those rewards? First, you admit, I am just as unjust as anybody else. Given the free will choice, I have been unfair. I have been self-centered. I need to ask forgiveness. I need you, Jesus Christ, to be my Savior. I am not perfect. I am not good enough. I don't deserve to come into a perfect heaven, Lord, but I'm going to trust you and your righteousness. I'm going to get in on your ticket, what you paid for me. I will accept you, Christ, as my Savior. And then second, let God settle the score in your life. Don't retaliate. Don't give evil from evil. Overcome evil with good. Don't get resentful. Don't get revenge. Let God handle it. And for some of the tough times that some of you are going through right now, and one of the thoughts is, it's just not fair. I didn't deserve this. Folks, everybody has their story of injustice, whether you're familiar with the persons next to you or not. Everybody has their story of injustice in their life. They just do. Everybody. We're not going to get an explanation for every detail that's happened to us of why things happen. We don't need an explanation. I don't. All we need to know is this. God has your best interest at heart. You believe that? He does. He's given you the freedom to choose. Choose good or bad. Do you believe you've got free will choice? God's big on that. Three, you're going to be judged one day for it. And four, if you respond in the right way, you're going to be rewarded for it. That's all you need to know. God's going to settle the score. Doesn't matter how deep the swamp seems. Let's pray. Father God, you don't give us what we deserve. If you did, if justice was served, none of us would be here. We thank you that you're not only a God of justice, but you're a God of mercy and love. None of us would stand a chance if that wasn't true. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And today I pray that people more and more would say yes to you. Yes, Jesus Christ, I am unjust. I am imperfect. I've sinned. I need you to be my Savior, Jesus. I can't do it on my own. I want to trust you as my Lord. Please forgive what I've done wrong. I want to follow you. Help me to do the right thing more and more. And I wait for your reward. And all God's people said, Amen.